Thank you so much to Tom of Wellbeing Brewing for joining us and being extremely open about his life, his sobriety, and selling beer without drinking. We appreciate him joining us last minute. And of course, you could check out all of our sponsors who helped create this video. That's Zatuna Liquor over in Rochester Hills, just south of M59 on Rochester Road. We also have North Center Brewing over in Northville, Michigan, just south of Baseline Road over on North Center Street, as well as the Downtown Drinking District in Northville, and PCI Brand Craft. They are our swag sponsor. Anything that you could throw a logo on, they can do it for you, whether it's a hat, a glass, a shirt, whatever it is, that's what they can do. Don't forget to like us on all of our social medias. That's Better on Draft on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. BOD Podcast, that's our Untappd page. Find out what we were drinking each and every week. And, of course, you can listen to us live Friday, 7 p.m. on youtube.com/betterondraft, betterondraft.tv, or facebook.com/betterondraft. We'll see you next week.
Whether your beer is in a bottle, can, or glass, kick back and relax. It's Better on Draft.
Welcome, everybody. Episode 263, Better on Draft Podcast. My name is Ken. Thank you so much for joining us. Wow, has it been an evening. We are late, so late. So we're going to get these introductions over with quick. I'm drinking Liquid Rain, an IPA from Wellbeing Brewing. Wendy, what are you drinking over there?
I am drinking the Intrepid Traveler Coffee Cream Brew from Wellbeing.
All right, and we already fucked this up once, so I know Dan's not drinking his Stoli today. Dan, what do you got?
No, I've actually got my coffee porter that I made, and I'm pulling a Nick since he's not here, and got a bacon and eggs, coffee right. Imperial porter in the other.
Best thing to do while you're drinking is drinking, but you know, we're going to be talking a lot of different topics today, including sobriety and quitting drinking, cutting back, everything like that. Two of us have non-alcoholic beers in front of us, which of course means that our guest is going to be a non-alcoholic brewer. Why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us what you do over at Wellbeing.
Hi, everybody. Yeah, my name's Tom Halaska. I'm with Wellbeing Brewing. I'm the brand manager partner with Wellbeing. We've been around for about 3.5 years, and we are solely dedicated to making craft non-alcoholic beer. And tonight I'm drinking the Casamara Club Amaro Club Soda, which is a local staple here. It seems like it's becoming here in Ann Arbor. Met Jason from Casamara yesterday. Man, he's an absolute sweetheart, beautiful product. So I'm just sitting here at Arbor Farm where I had a tasting today, hanging out, drinking a Casamara Club.
Yep, we actually had the opportunity to interview Jason back in 2020 when we did our set of Dry January sets. That's Dry January episode number one. You can go back into the archives of Better on Draft and check it out. So you are drinking that. What are you, you know, what's your job at Wellbeing, and what are you doing up here in Michigan?
So I am basically the sales team. So I'm up here in Michigan working with M4CIC and their wholesale team to go around and make placements. So last week in St. Louis, I went on a bit of a tear and made 40 new Wellbeing placements in bars and restaurants in 4 days. And it caught the attention of Megan and Mike at M4CIC. They're like, oh, you got to come up to Michigan and do that. I'm like, you know what? I can be there in 48 hours. And 48 hours, here I am sitting in Ann Arbor, and went through today, got 9 new Wellbeing placements, which is super cool. Nice. And then I'm working, I get to hang out this weekend in Detroit, and then we're working Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday in market. So here I am.
Now, I was reading up on an interview that you had earlier. Since you mentioned Detroit, you were talking about how one of your guilty pleasures, you know, some type of thing that you like to do is go get a slice of pizza at a place called Pie Guy Pizza over in St. Louis.
Yeah, that's a vegan pizza joint, actually.
Vegan pizza joint. Okay, well, what I was about to suggest...
don't discount it. It's so good.
Well, I'm just saying what I was about to suggest is not a vegan pizza joint. But since you're going to be in the Detroit area, obviously we are known for our Detroit-style pizza. So going to either Louis in Hazel Park is definitely an option. But there is also Michigan and Trumbull, I believe, is another pizzeria. And then if you're looking for New Hampshire-style, Cipino's.
I've heard Michigan and Trumbull is the spot. That's kind of overwhelming consensus I've gotten from the people I've come in contact with. So I think I'm hitting up there tomorrow for sure.
For sure. A lot of people don't understand Michigan is a very big foodie destination for the fact that we had a lot of people in the early 1900s come up here because there was middle-class jobs all over the place for you to grab, going working for the big three. And what everyone brought from all around the world is their food. So if you're looking for anything, you know, if you're out of state in Michigan, trust me, we have some of the best food out there. We might not be rocking it with Michelin stars, but we're definitely rocking it with some very true home cooking food.
That kind of slapped me in the face today for sure when I went around and visited these bars and restaurants in Detroit and Ann Arbor. Yeah, you guys got it going on. You guys are doing a great job up here.
Now, my first question is going to be very simple before I pass it off to Wendy and Dan. When we see a lot of these, near beers, most of these non-alcoholic beers usually have a half of a percent on ABV. Is there a reason or a reasoning why it doesn't go straight to 0.0?
Yeah, for us in particular, we think that it helps give the beer a little bit of depth, a little bit better viscosity, a little bit better mouthfeel, having that little bit of our process in particular. We fully brew our beer. Then we use vacuum distillation to gently remove the alcohol at about 80 degrees or so. And then we take some of that mother beer, and the beer comes out of the still at 0.0, and we take some of that mother beer and put it back in. And that gives a little bit of aroma, viscosity, taste. It just helps strengthen that beer out a little bit. But when we're talking about a 0.1%, which our Victory Citrus Wheat is 0.1%. The beer itself is actually 0.0. The citrus extract that we use to flavor the beer is where that 0.1% comes from. And to give you an equivalent, that's about, it's actually half as much alcohol that there is in a banana or an orange or a lot of other things that have natural fermentation in them. So it's kind of a good gauge knowing how much alcohol is actually in the beer. There's less alcohol in that beer than there is in a ripe orange.
Wait, are you telling me I can get drunk off of oranges right now?
No, that's the point. I'm telling you that you can't get, you can try and you can give it your best effort, but it's never going to happen. And that's the exact same process with alcoholic beer. You could do your best, but your body's going to purge the beer before any of the alcohol ever has a chance to process into your bloodstream.
Well, before I pass it off to these guys, I'm drinking the Liquid Rain, which is an IPA. Why don't you talk to us real quick about how this beer is made, what's in it, and a little bit more about the collaboration and the effort about, you know, the reason behind the beer.
Yeah, what a beer, right? So we made a beer collaboration with Four Hands Brewery based out of St. Louis, one of my favorite breweries in the city for sure. And we made a beer in conjunction with the Things We Don't Say beer program, which is a global brewing project where 209 breweries in 9 countries all made their own version of the Things We Don't Say IPA in recognition for the need for mental health awareness in the brewing community. So part of that program was tied with Hope for the Day, who actually organized the program, my buddy Joel. So we were able, pardon me, we were able to be the non-alcoholic beer of this program. And my buddy Joel reached out. He's like, hey, we need you to be a part of this program. Well-being needs to be a part of this program, because when you're trying to talk about mental health and alcohol together, it's kind of a weird situation. But we're talking about the mental health of the brewing community. And if you don't meet people where they are, and if you can't share a beer with a brewery worker to talk about how their life's going, all the trauma that we all went through in this past year, the ups and downs of the brewing world, if you can't do that over a beer, you're not going to be able to do it. So well-being being a part of this program kind of helps shape the conversation that we were trying to have. And most importantly, on that can, at the bottom is a QR code. That QR code takes you to a vetted mental health resource website from Hope for the Day, to where you scan the code, and it brings up the website. You dump in your zip code and it'll give you mental health resources in your area. So 209 breweries making their own version of this beer with that QR code, and just being a part of that program just meant so much. So what we did with Four Hands is we made a completely different beer than everybody else did. And we went a completely different route, and we made an El Dorado dry hopped IPA. And I didn't know this until we started going through the brew process, but El Dorado hops are ridiculously unique. And when you dry hop with them, the hops actually present as tropical. So apricot, pineapple, tropical fruits. So the beer itself is actually very hoppy, but it's not bitter. So 10 IBUs would kind of classify it as a quote unquote IPA. but the hops are so prominent and the beer was made in that IPA style. So that's just what it is and what we called it. And we think it's fun to kind of show that spectrum of where IPAs lay these days. Either it's a milkshake or it's darn near clear or it's completely hazy and you can't see through it. It's low alcohol, it's high alcohol, it's hoppy, it's fruity. You know, the IPA category has kind of really come into its own. And we thought this was a fun kind of geeky way to showcase those El Dorado hops.
Awesome. So let me ask you here, because you're going with the 0.5%. There are a lot of beers out there that are doing the 0.0. Are you finding it tougher to get into different states because of the 0.5% versus the 0.0?
Few and far between. I don't think we've ever ran into an instance where there was any sort of governing issues at all. And it's under 5%. So it's, you know, I don't think we have a beer that is 0.5. I think everything we have is under 0.5. But yeah, no, there's been no issues from a wholesale or selling standpoint. We can't, you know, we ship direct, obviously, through our website, www.wellbeingbrewing.com. You ship it straight to your door. And we can't ship to Michigan is one. Georgia is another. There's a couple there that still have these kind of interesting laws. And I listened to the Two Roots podcast you guys did. I listened to that last night. It was really great hearing someone speak about Michigan and the rules and stuff. But really, we follow the rules and it seems to work out just fine.
Let me ask you, too. I'm glad you brought up Two Roots because, you know, I'm sitting here double fisting, you know, beers that aren't non-alcoholic. Unfortunately, I couldn't find anyone that had any of your beer around me. I'm actually in Arizona.
Total Wine.
Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, I don't have one close by or I would have checked there. But thank you. I will check there actually this weekend. As far as who are you competing against? Let me ask you that. Are you competing against like these partakes that are the 0.0, no carb, you know, 10 calorie, or are you trying to be more of the pretty close to like, say I'm drinking a Imperial Porter right here. What are you trying to compete against?
That's the beautiful part about this craft and a beer category that we all kind of created about 3.5 years ago, us, Bravis, Athletic, Groovy, you know, all partake, Two Roots, that whole crew, you know, we all just kind of started at the same time and started this whole craft beer journey. So we created this category for the country. So the pie is so ridiculously big right now that there is no competition. You know, you've got Athletic Brewing who just raised $100 million in capital. You have no idea how excited I am, not only for them, but what that's going to do for the category and what that's going to do for well-being and for Two Roots in Partake. It's a lot of money, you know, and that really helps build that category. That's what they're doing. And they're on a trajectory that is just beautiful and amazing. And what we're doing is a little bit different business model. We are growing fast. We are able to hold up capacity. We're able to make that happen. Partake with their low calories and being from Canada, they're killing it. There is no direct competition right now because that pie is so big. What I want is the NA beer category to continue to grow. So the more beers I see on the shelf, the happier I get. I just at Arbor Farm here, they've got, I think, 17 to 20 SKUs of non-alcoholic beer. 3 years ago, it would have been four, and it all would have been macro imports. You know how happy I am to see Untitled Art and Groovy and all of these kind of smaller brew companies who are solely dedicated to non-alcoholic beer not only flourish in these markets, but also us little guys, you know, Athletic still being little in that sense, Athletic, Wellbeing Brewing, we set the tone for the level of quality in the craft NA beer world. You know, so Sam Adams comes out with their Just the Haze. They've got to make sure that they're up to what we're doing. And they did, and they did a great job with it. But it's really interesting to see how we're all working really hard to grow the actual category. So my answer is the competition is just with ourselves. There's the market's so broadly wide open right now that it doesn't even matter.
Awesome. Now I'm going to try to edit this question on the fly. I apologize. Someone else wrote this and I forgot to take a look at it and try to get it down within reason, Ken. So apparently there's a rift in the alcoholism community. Not sure what that is. But apparently there's a split.
This is the community of people who are helping others deal with alcoholism.
Is that what it is? I assumed it was.
Alcoholics Anonymous, that community, those who are assisting those
who are alcoholics. You're going to get me in trouble. We're 10 minutes into this thing, and you're going to get me in trouble.
No, I assume, yeah.
So in starting to speak about recovery, right? So
sure.
People set up their own journey. I don't drink. but I do consume cannabis. So in a lot of communities, that means I'm not sober, and that's okay. With that being said, over the 3.5 years that we have been in business, I have had pregnant people cry because they're excited that they get to drink something delicious while they're pregnant. I have had people with illnesses say, thank you so much for helping me be able to enjoy something. It's so great. Thank you so much. And most importantly, I think people in recovery who are like, man, I am using your beer as part of my recovery program. And you'll get the what I've been told, referred to as the crocodiles, which are some of the older AA people who are, you know, you got to stick to the rules and these are the rules and you got to do them. And I respect that wholeheartedly. But I think the lines are starting to be blurred right now on what quote unquote sober is. And it's not about completely abstaining from alcohol. It's more so about being more mindful about how you're consuming it. A lot of people don't have a drinking quote unquote problem or out an alcoholic. But they've pushed it a little bit too far in 2020 because I think we all pushed some things a little too far in 2020.
Yeah,
you know, I think that when it comes to that space, everyone has to make their own decisions. And one thing that I know for sure is that craft non-alcoholic beer does not lead to someone going into a liquor store and picking up a fifth of whiskey and drinking it. Quite the opposite. We get these messages saying, "Hey, you've helped me." There's a Facebook group called Non-Alcoholic Beer. It's about 7,000 members strong. And that community is amazing. It's just like any other craft beer community. We're posting pictures of our beers that we find, our refrigerators. That sense of community needs to exist. If someone was a craft beer fan and they decided to stop drinking or had to quit drinking, they lose out on that camaraderie, that baseball card collecting aspect of the craft beer world. And what we've done as a craft beer, non-alcoholic craft beer, you know, group is we've allowed for that to exist. And I think that that's really awesome. So everybody picks their own journey. You choose on what works for you and what doesn't work for you. And the naysayers can have their opinion in their voice, and that's okay.
Awesome. Now, I'm taking a look at your website to see what kind of offerings you currently have. I don't see any darker beers. Do you have any darker beers in the portfolio? Are you planning any in the future that you're aware of?
Yeah, I think Wendy's sipping on the Intrepid Traveler Coffee Cream Stout.
Oh, I didn't realize that was a stout. For some reason, I thought that was an ale.
Yeah, so we've got that stout. And then, yeah, we're constantly, we just opened up a new brew facility with New Realm Brewery in Virginia Beach. And that's Mitch Steele's program up there. And Mitch Steele is kind of the godfather of IPA as far as I'm concerned. And so we just started brewing up at New Realm and working with their team to work on some formulas and some recipes on stuff that we think would be more of that heavier body kind of fall feel to it. So the answer to your question is yes. We have the stout. We're gonna have some more.
Yes. Now, let me ask you, just to go on top of that, because I don't know if this is even possible. Are you able to barrel age a non-alcoholic beer? Would that make it way too non-alcoholic at that point?
I don't know. That's a great question. I think that it would be more of a modified process to where maybe we were using some oak chips or some barrel chips that were charred or something along those lines versus storing it in a barrel that fluctuates temperature and size and leaks and all that stuff. So I think that I think it's doable. I just don't know if we as a community are quite ready for that yet. If you kind of watch the growth pattern of what's happened in the NA beer world, we've all taken our steps very cautiously and been very aware of what we're releasing. And I think that the barrel aging someday, maybe, but I don't think we're quite there yet. I actually Bravis, I take that back. I think Bravis does a stout that they do a barrel aged stout. So it's being done.
Dan talked a little bit about some of the flavor profiles you guys have. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Well-Being for those who don't know about you?
So Well-Being Brewing, yeah. You know, we're trying to just spread some global wellness and some global love, you know, and in doing so, we've created some really interesting products. And the purpose kind of behind the brew company is participation. Jeff Stevens, one of the co-founders, used to work for an ad firm that dealt with Anheuser-Busch. So he was constantly going out to happy hours, but he doesn't drink. So, you know, years and years of going to Bud Light parties where your only option is O'Doul's, he thought to himself, he's like, there has to be more out there. And he found it. He found it in Europe. Europe has been gangbusters with non-alcoholic beer for years. And what we found is a machine that was at the brewery school of Berlin, I want to say. We brought that over, and that's the vacuum still that we use to make our beer. So we were bringing something that's already been established in Spain and Germany and France and especially England. My goodness, I don't think anybody in UK is really drinking much anymore from what it looks like, which is shocking. But they call them the teetotalers over there. So we knew it was time with this kind of global health and awareness movement that's going on. It was time for Craft NA beer to enter the U.S. market. So we started development in 2016, probably, and we sold our first beer January of 2018.
That's awesome. So I was looking at the can art, and I see that you have a Triskel as part of your logo. And I'm a huge fan of Celtic symbols, so I'm just wondering, is there a significance behind that?
Yeah, I think that that's kind of part of the journey. So Well-Being Brewing being part of that journey. So, you know, you're double fisting down there and that's awesome. But then also mixing my beer into your session here and there, sliding in a non-alcoholic beer here and there helps kind of balance that out. So we've always said that we're not anti-alcohol. I think that that would be such a crazy stance to try to take with the world to be anti-booze. I'm anti-booze personally. I can't do it. But having a product that allows for you to use on your journey, I think that Triskelion kind of gives that infinity kind of feel to it and that kind of structure. So that really spoke to us.
So you've been very public about your sobriety. After over 4 years, what are some of the things you've learned and things you could tell other beer reps that may be looking to cut back or cut out alcohol?
What I have learned in the past 4 years of not drinking, you know, when you make a shitty decision, you don't have anything to blame it on but yourself. And that can be tough sometimes. So dealing with that, you know, dealing with who you are and finding all that out and not having that crutch to fall back on has been a real experience. Being productive and being able to reach some of those life goals I was looking to achieve happened just because I put down the bottle. You know, that's just one step of that process. Not deciding not to drink is just kind of the beginning. It's kind of all the other stuff that happens afterwards that we got to bring it to light. And I was in the bar business for 20 years, and I worked with Brown-Forman, and I worked with Southern Glazers, and I was in the liquor business for years. They put a food on my table for 2 decades. And I think what I've learned is that there is a place to still be in this industry without having to try to live the lifestyle that you think has to be attached to that. This is more about community and lifestyle than it is about being cool and getting drunk so you can go to work hungover and everybody can tell you how cool you are because you're toughing through it. You know, I think those days are kind of slowly coming to an end, and I'm glad that that's true. But I think in the past 4 years, I can say honestly that being more mindful about what I'm doing and how I'm doing it and not having alcohol as that crutch has been quite the eye opener for sure.
I believe in another interview that you had, and we actually had a guest editorial for the last 2 years from
Oh, hey, I'm sorry. I don't mean to cut you off, but I got a gentleman here who's asking where you can buy the beer. You can buy it right here inside Well-Being Brew.
So they have it here.
Absolutely. Cheers, man.
I have a friend of mine who's like going nuts and he can't drink anymore and he wants.
I appreciate that, man. See, look, that's.
That's awesome.
That's how easy it is. It is. It is so great. He was sitting next to me at this table here. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I had to make the sale.
No. You got to put the bread on the table, right?
That's right.
We talked about, so the guest editorial from Kyle Vandeventer of Griffin Claw. Kyle cut back to the point of he stopped drinking for a while still selling beer. And one of the things he was worried about, which was something that you mentioned you were worried about on, you know, selling the product itself, is that you're worried about what everyone else is going to think about you or what everyone's saying. And you chuckle a little because I feel like both you and Kyle share the same experience that it was all in your head and it wasn't actually a real thing. Was that correct?
There's this weird mix. Yes. A lot of it is, you know, I quit drinking, so I'm not cool anymore. You know, that was my identity for a long time. That's what I did. I worked in a bar. I worked as a bar owner, a bar general manager. I lived the lifestyle. I was there to party. And when that was over, I'm like, man, what the hell am I going to do? No one's going to like me. No one's going to want to hang out with me. And come to find out, people didn't want to hang out with me before because I was getting too drunk and I was being a jerk, And when I quit drinking and I got to be surrounded by people and have these meaningful conversations and experiences, I realized that, wow, I put a lot of this pressure on myself with this not drinking thing. And honestly, it turned out to be a eye-opening experience. I've gained a lot of friends and I'm closer to my family and my kids. And, you know, it's just for me personally, it's just been an experience that's kind of opened my eyes for sure.
I want to discuss the cultural changes that I believe have occurred over the last 5 or so years, because I believe within the industry itself, as well as millennials growing a little bit older, Gen Z getting into the drinking force, we are looking towards more low calorie, low carb, and even low alcohol options, like lower ABVs. We're not chasing after these high ABV, high octane, things like from the brewery out in California, where nothing's under like 20% from them. Obviously, I'm over exaggerating here, but we all understand a beer from the brewery, sure, and what it exists. Are you seen as a rep who is really focused into the NA beer scene? Are you seeing that as a full cultural change, or am I just getting older?
No, you're not. And yes, you are. So when it comes to Gen Z specifically, a lot of them just aren't consuming alcohol. So they're not sober. They just don't consume. Or they do consume, and they do like, you know, you can't do certain beers without them being a certain ABV, and they're delicious and they're good. But they're spending the money on them and they know how much alcohol is in them. So they're only having one or two because they like the taste. They like the experience of it. So they're not overindulging. Millennials, yeah, I mean, we're getting older. We're in our 30s, right? We're in our late 30s. So there are health issues that are popping up. And most importantly, I think that we have the data now to show that overconsumption of alcohol leads to some issues. So the younger kids already know that. The 21-year-olds already know that. We know that now. And on top of that, with Gen Z, they don't want to be caught online. We were just talking about TikTok off show, and they don't want to show up on a TikTok falling off a bar stool or a Snapchat or something, you know, so they're very mindful about that, man, for sure. So between the social media aspect, the health information, and not to mention the freaking cannabis world, you know, non-alcoholic, not just non-alcoholic beer. I mean, this Casamara Club, man, this thing's delicious. Smoking a nice, fresh Friday night cannabis bowl with this Amaro Club soda is delicious. And you're just being aware of how you're ingesting your cannabis. You're being aware of what you're doing. And I think that's what it comes down to. So no, the Gen Zers aren't drinking all that much. The millennials are being more aware of how much they're consuming. And that's where we come in. That's where our massive growth, I think, in the past 3.5 years has come from, is that people are just realizing, oh, I need to just take a break, you know?
When we discussed with Two Roots, they were talking about, the gentleman for Two Roots was talking about pairing a non-alcoholic beer with an alcoholic beer, going back and forth, obviously to limit his alcohol consumption. You winked and gave a finger point, so something to think about. What is, have you, as someone not drinking alcohol anymore, do you seek out things like mocktails or other forms of non-alcoholic beverages that kind of are alcohol aside? Or
sure.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, first and foremost, I'm on a couple of missions in my life and right now. And one of them is to strike the word mocktail from the English language. I want it gone. It needs to go.
Okay.
It's antiquated. It's boring. Right. So I'm really pushing zero proof cocktails or spirit free or just AF or whatever it is, to be a little bit more creative with those programs. So if we're talking about a bar program that has 15 cocktails on the menu and they have 3 0 proof cocktails on the menu, and they've got a couple non-alcoholic spirits, they've got a non-alcoholic wine, they've got a non-alcoholic beer, and there's those options for the people who are just deciding to opt out of alcohol tonight, or those who just don't drink at all, having those options creates an inclusive beverage program. So without a doubt, when I go out, I don't think about how much that steak is going to cost me or how much this pasta is going to cost me, because I don't have an $80 whiskey tab on the back end of it. So I'm down to purchase a $9 zero proof cocktail that someone handcrafted, thought about, put together. Julia Mimos at Cameco in Chicago has been at the forefront of zero proof drinks for a couple of years now. And she's putting out tremendous stuff that when it comes down to it, what we're doing is we're all looking for our treat, right? We want a treat. At the end of the day, when the work is done, you want something to say, God, that day sucked. Or, yeah, that day was awesome. It's not about the alcohol that's in the glass. It's about the thing that's in the glass meaning something more so than a soda or an iced tea. It's something that was made for me. That's that feeling. So, yeah, I mean, I seek it out. I'm drinking that Casa Mara Club right now because it's delicious. You know, so when we go out, we want our treats. We don't necessarily go out to get screwed up drunk all the time, you know. So, yeah, I absolutely do. Absolutely.
You were discussing, and we'll be mindful of not using the phrase mocktail in front of you. But there is a place that there's a place that a lot of people may not know about that they should if you're looking for some type of a large non-alcoholic big menu, I should say. And that's M Cantina out in Dearborn. So if you've never been to M Cantina, they specialize in, if I recall right, halal craft cocktails, which is basically non-alcoholic. So they have like a pina colada, mojito, margarita, like frozen daiquiris. They have all these things that are non-alcoholic so that you can go there. And, you know, a lot of it is religious based. Dearborn has a large Muslim population and a lot of, you know, sects in the Muslim community don't drink alcohol. Therefore, this is the kind of place that they would want to go. There was another one. This place closed a while ago, but they were sought to try to be the alcohol-free B-dubs by creating like this, you know, crazy hot dog joint with like TVs ever so that you can watch the sports and you can hang with friends, but there's no alcohol in the facility. But those are the types of places that, you know, people should look up, like M Cantina. I know Zhao Jun over in Bloomfield does a lot of non-alcoholic drinks, but those are becoming more and more. A lot of places are adding non-alcoholic options on there, and especially if you're going to some type of bar that is a really good cocktail bar, like I would say Kiesling, they could easily whip up a non-alcoholic cocktail for you, just because they're so they're chefs behind there. They understand the ingredients and they understand what goes into it. What are some of your favorite, other than well-being, obviously the best, what are some of your favorite go-to NA beverages?
Oh boy, Ritual zero proof spirits are freaking rad. Based out of Chicago, really, really good team. There's a website called drinknoandlow.com. And I'm almost certain, I'm going to find this out tonight, I'm almost certain these guys are based here in the Detroit area. And they are importers of non-alcoholic spirits. So they've got these crazy Amaros and like all these wines and like all this crazy stuff. But Ritual Zero Proof is amazing. My friend Meredith Berry is a drink maker in St. Louis, and she makes some of the best zero proof drinks around. There's Elmwood. There's a bar called Awake in Denver that is a zero proof bar that is stocked to the brim with zero proof spirits, wines, beers, and the whole thing. So what I like to do too is at home is kind of brew with teas and mix around. I was a bartender for 20 years, so I miss mixing. So I like to play around at home and play around with stuff, but I'd have to go with Ritual Zero Proof as my, like my go-to non-alcoholic spirit right now.
All right. As we're going to be closing up here soon, I want to ask one final question before we get into the group's final questions. I guess we lost you for a second. There you are. Let's go back, and I kind of want to know a little bit about, you know, before you gave up drinking, what was, that beer that you loved going to? What was that standard that you loved having in your fridge?
It's a shot of whiskey, glass of water, no ice.
Shot of whiskey, glass of water. Are you replacing that with something? Because I know like Ritual, I think, does a whiskey.
Yeah. I do that. That's Amaro's hitting the spot. No, my go-to beer was the Four Hands Chocolate Milk Stout and a shot of whiskey back. And man, that beer is just so damn good that I could drink that. I think the one thing I miss about drinking is that beer in particular. So yeah, Four Hands Brewing Company in St. Louis makes like a 400 calorie chocolate milk stout that is divine. So good.
So I guess the question is that, you know, you had your partnership with Four Hands for the Liquid Rain beer. When are we going to get Well-Being chocolate milk stout NA?
I don't know if that can be recreated without the alcohol. Honestly, it would be amazing. It would be something that we would definitely have to figure out and work on, but yeah, that, you know, getting that that thickness, I think, is where you kind of sometimes run into the trouble with the non-alcoholic beers. But, man, I'd love to see that happen someday.
I mean, again, you have partners already there. I think if you could make it and you can make an NA version, I think it's going to be a banger of a seller. I've actually had this beer before. Now that I see the logo with the laughing
with the cow.
I've definitely had this before. So as we wind down, I do apologize. I know we're starting late. I know we kept you a little longer than we said we would, but I appreciate you hanging out with us. So we're going to go around. Everyone's going to ask one final question, and then we will allow you to go enjoy the rest of your time here in Ann Arbor, Detroit, starting with Wendy.
So I am new to NA beers, and I am looking for your beer. What do you suggest I try?
Oh, wow. First thing, I would go to our website, wellbeingbrewing.com. Click on the store locator, dump in your zip code. It'll pop up any spots, bars, restaurants, retail places that were available. So find out how close it is to you. If it's not close to you, then I would just go to our online shop and have it shipped to your door. We have a beer right now, our Victory's Wellbeing Brewing Victory Citrus Wheat has more electrolytes than Gatorade, but less alcohol than a banana. It's 97 calories, it's zero sugars, it's hydrating. So this time of year, absolutely that Victory Citrus Wheat with the B vitamins, sodium, magnesium, potassium, chloride, protein, that beer is something that can get everybody through summer, cutting the grass, working out in the yard, nightcap, you name it. So I would start with the Victory Citrus Wheat for sure.
Fantastic.
Daniel.
All right. I actually want to go back to what you were talking about with cannabis earlier, because you had mentioned Two Roots as well. And, you know, they make a THC-infused non-alcoholic in the states that it's able to be sold in. Is there any plans for Wellbeing to do that in the future?
Yeah, so Saria also is another brand. They make a non-alcoholic craft beer, and they started as a THC brew company. Is there, you know, Missouri just went recreational, so there's an opportunity there. You know, we're in Virginia Beach. They're medicinal. Same in Virginia Beach. The cool thing about what we can do is we can transport our beer to a dosing facility if we want and put THC in it and start selling it in whatever market we're in. I don't know if we're ready for that. You know, obviously kind of my fluidity of talking about it means that it's been discussed because it's always an option, right? But no, there's nothing on the horizon right now. But we do make some CBD sparkling waters. We have a yuzu bloom and a melon grass that are available at Wellbeing Brewing or wellbeingcbdsparklingwaters.com. So we are, you know, that's kind of us dipping our toe into the cannabis world, starting to figure it out. So nothing on the horizon, but never say never.
Yeah, I already crushed the melon grass CBD water that you gave
were.
Me.
I knew you were going to. That's
great. I had it. It's almost gone. I'm super happy I opened it up. This is definitely something that is this being distroed here in Michigan, or was this just a gift?
Nope, not yet. And I don't know if we're going to bring it up here. That was just a gift. Let you know what we're doing. But yeah, okay. Maybe someday we'll see those waters up there.
Well, thankfully, we have the ability to get to Ohio, Indiana, or Illinois pretty quickly, so we can manage something like that. I want to give you kind of an opportunity because if you haven't, and we're going to post a link to an interview that you did a couple years ago about becoming sober, your history and everything like that, because I think it really breaks into who you are as a person and what you are doing and what you have done and where have you been. You know, we are a show. We believe the same thing you do is that as long as the person in front of you is, you know, enjoying what they're enjoying and not being an asshole, you know, let them enjoy that drink. So I think you said, you know, if they want salt in their beer or ice in their whiskey or something
like that. White Zinfandel.
Yeah, ice in their Chardonnay. There you go.
That's right. Yeah, don't yuck someone else's yum. That's my mantra. Don't yuck someone else's yum.
I'm going to remember that. But for the people that are looking to cut back, looking to quit, looking to end their affair with alcohol, what suggestions and what helped you get to where you are and what could you give them to help them on their journey?
That's a tough one, right? And I think that kind of swoops back around to the conversation about using non-alcoholic beer on your recovery journey. So, you know, it's so individualized. Reach out for help. I was very public about stopping drinking, mostly because I was in the bar business. So every bar I went into, there was a 2 ounce pour of whiskey slid across the bar or a shot of Fernet. So I wanted to let my friends know, hey, I still want to go out. I still want to be around, but I need you to respect my boundaries, which was terrifying. you know, admitting to my kids who are in their teens, hey, dad's an alcoholic. And they had no idea because I hid it from them so well. Never drank around them. They had no clue. You know, letting my parents know all of that stuff. I was so terrified to do all of that. And come to find out, it was the greatest thing in the world. My friends surrounded me. They all supported me. Everyone has been so gracious and so awesome in this whole process. So find your support, whether it's an AA meeting or it's another buddy who's decided to cut back on drinking, or, you know, just find somebody. And if you're looking to quit, go find some help. Don't listen to the Craft NA Brew guy on what you should be doing on your journey. You know, go talk to somebody. You know, use the mental health resources that you can for what you can do, and do your best. But, you know, it's worth it. It's worth it just to take that inventory. I think that's why Dry January is so rad, is because it just gives people a moment to just be like, huh, damn, I had withdrawals from not drinking for a week. There might be a problem there. You know, and I think that, you know, that inventory is so darn important. But, you know, and along the path, it's doable. And trust me, if I could freaking do it, I've got a couple buddies now. There's a couple of us who have quit drinking. We're like, man, we can't believe that we, of all the people, we're the people. And I think that's true and proven time and time again. So just do it.
As much as you say, don't listen to the NA beer guy, I think you have the life that you lived, the experiences that you had that you can give them. And while not everyone's experiences are going to be the same, you are someone that, you know, for me, I'm going to be drinking beer during the news segment. So I can't really tell, you know, I could support anyone. And that's the thing, that if you're not quitting beer, but somebody else's, you need to support them in that decision. You need to.
That's it, man. I think that's more applicable than my advice that I can give to someone who's trying to quit drinking. The best advice I can give, I think, to your listeners who consume alcohol, so if you've got somebody in your life who decides to stop, you support them and you listen, you make the time, you take the time to include them and show them that they don't have to be ashamed of who they are and what they're doing. I think that's the best advice I can give. If you have somebody in your life that's struggling with any sort of addiction or any sort of issues, just be there for them and let them know that you're there. I think that's the best way to do it.
It reminds me of the John Mulaney sketch before he relapsed, and he talks about going to a party and he doesn't drink anymore, and people have no idea how to respond to him. Be like, you know, I don't. Do you want a glass of milk or something like that?
It's the only drug we have to justify not using.
Yeah,
it's true.
That's not my phrase. That one's been I stole that one, but it's so damn true. It's so damn true.
Oh, I was just gonna quote you at the bottom. Tom Alaska. Tom, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate you being open, honest and upfront, and you know, wearing your life experiences on your sleeve. I think a lot of people who are listening to this show can get a lot from it, simply from understanding that there are, you know, you can come back, you can cut out, and there's nothing wrong with that at all.
So absolutely.
Thank you so much. Wellbeing, they can find you here in Michigan. Wellbeingbrewing.com, I believe, is your website, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which you ship direct to consumers, except for in a handful of states, including Michigan. But again, you can buy it on the shelf here in Michigan.
Yep. Exactly.
That's going to do it. Better on draft 263. No matter what you think of your beer, we think it's better on draft. Have a good night.
I'll see y'all.
Peace.